Hi, everyone. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found at stutterrockstar.com on the blog. And you can also find it wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. Today, as always, I'm excited to have another amazing woman on as a guest who's going to share parts of her story. So let me say hello to Michelle. Hey, Michelle, happy to have you as a guest with us.
Hi, Pam. Happy to be here.
So to get us started, could you introduce yourself to us, who you are, where you're from, and what keeps you busy?
I'm Michelle. I'm from New York, but born and raised. I coordinate surgeries as my job.
Oh, so like you're like a surgery appointment scheduler or like that?
I work with an ENT surgeon, and I schedule her surgeries, and make sure everything goes smoothly.
Cool. So what got you interested in that type of work? How did you first get involved with that?
Well, it kind of fell into my lap. After college, I was in a bit of a rut. I was doing internships and volunteering, and a friend of my parents, his surgeon, and she needed help doing filing in her office. And I started there a couple hours a week, and I got more responsibilities, and she sold her practice to Weill Cornell Medicine, and asked me to schedule her surgeries, and that was like right after things started picking up after COVID. And I've been doing this for almost 3 years now.
Okay. Do you like it?
It's interesting. I don't just deal with a lot of parents. I deal with a lot of parents who are anxious about their kids having surgery.
So, like, is it like usually like the kids are having like their tonsils out or something like that?
Tonsils, adenoids, getting tubes put in their ears because they've had a lot of ear infections.
Okay. How does your stuttering impact your scheduling and your like communication with patients? And you mentioned anxious parents. It or does it impact communication?
I've been able to do a lot of it through email,
Okay.
but it's made me have to directly face having to make a lot of phone calls. And I think in that sense, this job has helped my speech because talking on the phone at work is just something that can't be avoided.
And of course, talking on the phone is like every stutterer's favorite thing to do, right?
Absolutely.
It seems like it seems like with like the rise in technology, and especially like the pause that we all experienced with COVID, it just seems like emailing and instant messaging and scheduling software has really helped people who stutter. But just as you indicated, the phone can't be avoided. I mean, that's how you confirm appointments and stuff like that. So kudos to you. Kudos to you for doing a heavy communication job, because I'm sure you know a lot of people who stutter avoid that like the plague, and stay far away from that. So that's wonderful. And it sounds like you said something that like I heard, like that you're like facing your fear and going out of your comfort zone. So that's really inspiring. What did you study in college?
I studied theater.
And do you have an opportunity today to use your theater background and education?
Well, kind of. Before COVID hit, I had started taking cabaret classes.
Oh.
I just these group classes that would end with a performance at a piano bar. I took a couple of those classes, and then COVID hit, and then I took the class again, and I was encouraged to just do a show of my own. And I was able to well, not really right, but put together a cabaret show, and I was able to perform it twice.
Wow, that is so exciting. And again, like out of one's comfort zone, because that is not something, well, first of all, I would never have the courage and the nerve to do something like that. But I think, a great deal of people who stutter, like, like may shy away from that. But the way that you talk about it, and people are not going to be able to see your smile because this is an audio podcast, but Michelle is like beaming as she talks about this, you guys. So it's really exciting to hear this. So how was it received?
It was received well. I couldn't find a song that could completely like represent stuttering. So I wrote one.
Wow.
And my musical director helped me put it to music, and they want me to submit it for the, I don't know what it's called exactly, but for the Cabaret Awards.
Oh my God, Michelle, that's so exciting. So, are you going to?
Yes. And I may have to have another performance to submit my show and not just the song.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Oh my gosh, I would love to hear the song. Like, can you like just like share some of the lyrics, like some of the words?
Sure. I've tried so hard to be normal. Whatever normal is, natural though complex, embarrassing and weird, sometimes a source of stress when you talk like this.
Wow. Nice. Nice. Well, I hope it like makes it big and that you make it big time and you get an award because there's not many people out there performing songs about stuttering and certainly the world needs to hear more about stuttering because we're often silenced by, lack of awareness or lack of education of the general public about stuttering. So really, like, this is just so cool to see that you're like doing something like this and kind of like breaking the mold and, putting yourself out there. That's really fun. I hope I get to talk with you again sometime in the future, and you're telling me that it won an award because it sounds like it really has the potential to do that. So wow, that's really exciting. Tell me, I'm interested. I'm seeing the shirt that you're wearing, and listeners are not gonna have the opportunity, but Michelle is wearing a shirt that says "Advocate and Connect." There must be another word on there. Oh.
Educate and accept.
Is that about stuttering?
Yes, I got it at this past NSA conference.
Oh, all right. I did not see shirts like that for sale. So, that's really cool. I really like that. And I was just going to ask you, what's your involvement in the stuttering community? But you just mentioned that you went to the recent NSA conference. Are you involved with the stuttering community? Do you attend like a local NSA chapter and such?
Yes, I attend the Manhattan chapter here in New York. And I hope I can go to next year's NSA conference. The first conference I went to was just for a couple hours, but it was a friends event
Okay.
at Hofstra in the early 2000s.
Okay.
And then my first NSA conference was in 2004.
Okay. Oh, so you're a veteran of the stuttering community.
Yeah. I went to two conferences. Ooh. With my family.
Oh, nice.
My parents and my younger brother. And what used to be our time theater company Well, now it's say. I was one of the original preteens.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. I have a CD, a song that Our Time did. Like I can't, I mean, and it was from many years ago. It was like called Listen. And you're shaking your head, so you know it.
I'm on the CD.
Oh, wow. What a coincidence. Wow.
I went to a couple NSA conferences with Caro and Say, and we performed at the, I guess, opening ceremony, kind of. And then I aged out at 18 in college and wasn't involved in the stuttering community. Besides Say's mentor project for a couple of years, and I restarted speech therapy in 2016.
Okay.
And st started getting back into the community, went to the NSA conference in Chicago, and then kept going to the conferences except for during COVID, and I really treasure the couple of days with my people in person every year.
Yes, I do too. It's so important to be able to connect in person, hug people, you know. It's just it's yeah, I totally get that as well. For me, it's like my tribe, you know, and it just feels like it's like critical that I like be there. I attended my first conference in 2006 in Long Beach, California, and I'm also from New York, upstate New York. So it was like my first time traveling to the West Coast by myself, and you know, first time like going to some type of a stuttering event. I was scared to death, and you know, when I got there and I heard other people who stutter, especially other women, it was just like, oh my God, like it was, I just felt home, you know. So yeah, I cherish it as well. I think I remember being at an NSA conference when the Our Time Kids performed, and it was just like, wow, like it was really like it was fun and it was special. And I remember Taro and you know the kids, and I don't remember like any particular faces, but I do. I mean, I think you guys did that twice, right? Maybe it was at two different conferences, or was it just one?
I it was It was more than twice.
Okay. Wow. So you've been involved and then you paused because of things and now you're back involved. And you mentioned that you started speech therapy again.
Yeah, I'm on like my fifth speech therapist.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
Yikes.
necessarily. I grew up seeing the usual therapists for fluency shaping and modification techniques. And then I got frustrated w when I was like 16, and my parents just let me stop. And then after college, I was so frustrated
Yeah.
with my speech, and there was so much tension. And my parents told me a couple times I should look for another speech therapist, and I didn't want to go back the beginning and do techniques again. It just isn't sustainable. And after some r research, I found AIS. And I've worked with Heather for it's been 6 years now. And I think that it has changed my life a lot. And my relationship with my stuttering is different. I found a community and friends I love. And stuttering isn't the worst thing in the world.
Wow. AIS, I've heard nothing but good things, and I know Heather, and she is wonderful and truly a person that gets stuttering. And so AIS focuses more on like avoidance reduction, if I'm correct, rather than fluency shaping specifically.
Yes, AIS does avoidance reduction and REBT, rational emotive behavioral therapy.
Oh, all right.
And I've learned that People who stutter need less speech therapy and more just therapy. Because there's so much underneath the stuttering or what we think our stuttering is. It's us still unconsciously saying, don't stutter, don't stutter, don't stutter. And we have to chip away at that.
Yeah, wow. What a great explanation of your relationship with stuttering. And I admire the fact that you even, state that you have a relationship with stuttering, and that's positive. A lot of people just tend to, avoid or deny talking about stuttering at all. And here you are, in a relationship with your stuttering. And, like I am too. I'm in a relationship with my stuttering for a long time. I didn't make room for it. I would, just like you said, I was constantly fighting, or, pushing it away, and felt like I could not be successful. I could not be happy. I could not be, and stutter. And fortunately, like you, I tried traditional fluency shaping therapy as an adult, and only lasted for like 8 months. I'm like, oh, this is not for me. It's, so I went and found a what turned out to be like an incredible psychotherapist. And I worked with a therapist, with this guy who knew about stuttering, but was able to help me like chip away at the layers, and peel back many of the layers of the stuff that we struggle with, but people don't see, and I came away from, that experience, feeling like I could peacefully coexist with stuttering and present that part of myself to the world. So I'm glad that you brought that up, 'cause like sometimes that's more valuable, as you said, than traditional speech therapy, which some still leaves much to be desired. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You also mentioned, and we're like probably like heading towards wind down mode. You mentioned that your parents and your younger brother came with you to a conference, right? Did I hear that right?
They came to the the first two NSA conferences I went to.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful that your family was interested and involved and supportive. Because I was going to ask, like, what was it like growing up with a stutter? But if your family actually came with you and were, it sounds like they've been very supportive, and it sounds like you're really lucky to have that type of family that recognizes that they can be involved as well and have a relationship with stuttering.
They're still supportive. They still come to stuttering events.
Awesome.
I think that having a supportive family and having a safe home matters so much growing up as someone who stutters.
Wow. I like the way you put that, having a safe home. Home needs to be the place where we can completely be our ourselves, stutter freely, stutter openly, and not worry, about judgment, So you're so right. You're so right. Last question. What advice might you give to a young person, particularly a young woman who's first starting out on their journey with stuttering? What insight might you offer?
The stuttering journey isn't linear. There's ups and downs. There's periods of time where you're gonna hate it. Sometimes you're okay with it, but stuttering builds strong people. It's tough to live with, but you are tough for living with it.
Wonderful, inspiring way to wrap up. Michelle, thank you so much for being a guest today. Your story is exciting and inspiring, and I'm glad you were able to share it with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our
Mama.
Story.